issue. And finally, we received feedback that more communication was needed regarding bid opportunities. So addressing the hurdles we heard about is central to the Diversity and Strategic Development Department's objective and goals. Through a collaborative approach with various other departments, including engineering, procurement, finance, and law, we are exploring ways to address the feedback received. Our objective speaks to addressing the needs identified in the Listen and Learn tour. Our goals are geared to respond to the contracting community needs. I guess I will pause here for a minute just because I think it will be good for us to get some feedback on these goals from the directors present. If there are any questions or any issues that you might want to raise at this point regarding the goals. Okay, next slide. So, linking suggestions to our goals. First of all, to increase access to economic opportunity, and as I said before, we are studying contracting size and unbundling options, as well as bonding and insurance. Also, as we issue smaller size contracts, we will track the number of respondents. The interest of bidders will help us gauge which contract range would benefit most small bidders. To build capacity, training, and technical assistance, we are reviewing ways we can provide through training through partnerships as well, and we will track the number and type of training sessions as well as the number of participants. To create effective partnerships, we will create a DVE Advisory Council and reconstitute the ECP Advisory Committee to broaden community relationships. To foster transparency and accountability, we are working with various departments to create a schedule of upcoming procurements similar to forecasted procurement opportunities available on other government websites, and we are collecting and planning to post information on the TOWIS website about mentor project partnerships and scopes of work. Although many ideas and suggestions were made, we concluded a majority of the suggestions coming from the community fell into two large categories: contractor and worksite diversity. These two areas were identified as key to increasing access to contracting opportunities by construction industry groups and other stakeholders. As I mentioned earlier, I will now pass on the presentation first to Paul and then to Mike to provide further details on what's being done to address the needs of the business community in the areas of unbundling and bonding and insurance. I will then come back to discuss technical assistance and future actions for the diversity department.
Gustavo, before we move forward,
sure,
on the last slide, worksite diversity, could you just define that a little bit for us as to what exactly that is meant by that?
By that, it is meant that the diversity in the actual construction work sites, that all the contracts.
Okay. So as opposed to the diversity of the ownership of the company that gets the contract, it's the people who are actually on the site?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Gustavo. So, I've been married 26 years, so I understand.
You don't have a divorce?
I understand commitment and that divorce is not an option. So we have been working very closely together, both of our departments, diversity and engineering, especially to tackle this topic of unbundling. I have a few slides here in the middle of this presentation to give you some background and also explain some of the challenges and opportunities that are associated with this topic. And I guess what we mean when we talk about unbundling is that we think of it as creating more opportunities for small contractors. We want to offer up a range of job sizes and types of work for them to do and basically increase the opportunities for small and minority contractors. What we heard in our unbundling workshop was that the focus was more on the construction side of things than it was on the professional service side, and I have some slides about that coming up which will give you a little more background on that. You know, we do know that unbundling and creating more small contracts also has to be balanced against the criteria of safety and trying to be efficient in delivery. And on this slide, there's an extreme example, which I would not recommend. But you know, once we heard in the unbundling meetings that we had that they felt, small contractors felt, they could be very competitive at $5 million and less. I wanted to demonstrate you know, just our planned work on Moon, Illinois under on the I-90 project, it's about 61.5 miles. So if I was to break down those mainline contracts into $5 million packages, it would result in us doing 166 contracts, you know, per year on that I-90 corridor. And under the whole CRP, under 7 full years of construction, we only did 234. So, you know, that the size and the level of complexity of having that many contracts going side by side, obviously everybody realizes that, that's not realistic. But it did help, you know, had helped everyone understand, you know, some of the criteria that we're balancing this against.
Well, the safety point is that you would have more people out on the road because it would be every 5 miles?
Yeah, it's very difficult to make sure when you're doing construction work that's adjacent to each other to keep everyone on the same page and moving together. So if I had 166 different stages, maintenance of traffic, I had the maintenance of traffic plan spread out amongst 166 contracts, I would have to make sure that they were all hitting the next stage at exactly the same time so that everybody shifted, you know, traffic to the right or back. So it does present a huge and impossible challenge. There's really, I would never recommend that. But I wanted to also give you some idea of what happened under CRP, and this is more of a forensic type analysis. You know, this is just how it rolled out. And we didn't really make a conscious effort to do it this way, and it's kind of just what happened. But the first slide, or the next slide here, is on that what happened on the professional service side of things. And you could see what I take away on the professional service side, that if you're looking at those contracts that were under $5 million, it rolled out in a manner that 42.96% of the contracts actually were in that $0 to $5 million category.
Of the dollars.
And of the contract numbers, it was 80%. So really, we do have a lot of opportunities in that particular range of contracts for small businesses. And also, engineering small businesses are different than construction small businesses. If you can do a lot of work with a small number of qualified individuals. On the next slide, gives you a breakdown of how things rolled out with respect to construction. If we take the threshold of 0 to 10 million, it looks like it does show that under CRP about 40% or over half of our contracts, 50% of our contracts were in that category. 40% of them were in this 0 to 5 million threshold. But when you look at the dollar side, you know, you could see that only 4% of the dollars went into the 0 to 5 percent category. Also, you'll note that 25% of the dollars went into the super big category at $5 million, $50 million or more. So this gives you an idea at least of the starting point. You know, this is what we were able to achieve under the CRP program. A lot of the assumptions we made in the Move Illinois program were based on our experience in the previous program. You know, we're rolling out about $1 billion worth of work a year. We know that that's what we felt comfortable doing and what we could accomplish. And you see that overall on the construction side, there was a total of 234 contracts altogether to get us through 7 years of CRP, which roughly delivered $5 billion worth of work. But as we look to improve, you know, we need to consider all the factors that we're going to face for increasing opportunities. And you know, the interesting thing that we heard in the unbundling meetings was that the size of the contract really wasn't the only factor, and Gustavo mentioned there's several other things that were discussed. Also, location turned out to be a very important thing for us to consider. There are definitely a lot of small contractors and small businesses available closer to the urban area, Chicago, than there are in some of the western reaches of our system. So even if I have jobs out on I-90 that I can unbundle, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're really going to be creating any more bids out there or creating any more opportunities for small contractors that are primarily located close to here. Also, the type of work does play into it. We know to do some of our asphalt work, you got to have an asphalt plant, and not many people have asphalt plants. So we want to develop a strategic approach to addressing this problem, you know, considering all these factors. And I do need to refer back to what I brought to your attention at the last board meeting, and that is that one of the most significant challenges we're facing right now is our procurement challenges. And we know that with the number of contracts, that risk is going to be increased. And we also know that facing these challenges at the beginning of the program is like the worst time for us, because it's going to have a ripple effect throughout the remaining years of the program. And if we shift and miss a whole year of construction in this program in the early years, it is going to translate into $500 million of additional cost to us. So with these, you know, risks in mind, you know, we've considered how a typical year might look for small contract opportunities. And the next slide, this represents the number of small contracts we would have in that $0 to $5 million category. So the green bar indicates that under CRP, in any given year where we were doing $1 billion worth of work, it translated into 13. And if I want to take the same, assume the same percentages are utilized and apply them to the Move Illinois program dollars, you could expect that we would have at least 15 of those small type contracts. The last bar here is the orange bar, and I am not advocating that we do this, but I need to explain to you that if our risk is three times greater than what it was under CRP, it is taking us three times as long to get contracts executed and given notice to proceed. If we are going to take a risk-adjusted approach to the Move Illinois program, the only way I have to address this risk is by decreasing the number of contract opportunities. And so that orange bar represents roughly one-third of what, you know, we would have normally done under CRP applied to the Move Illinois program. So this is not only going to result in fewer contract opportunities, it's also going to result in fewer dollars being available. So if we're tasked with delivering the same dollar value of improvements, and you can assume that 70% of the $12.1 billion we have included in the Move Illinois program is going to be solely dedicated for construction, which is the exact percentage that we had under CRP. About 70% turns into construction dollars. The only way to decrease the number of contracts and mitigate that risk is by, you know, adjusting how many we do at the lower end of the scale and increasing the number that we do at the upper end, because the basic translation is that if I can take out 18 contracts at the smaller end, I only have to add one contract at the upper end. You know, all these contracts from an administrative standpoint and from a risk standpoint all are equal, pretty much. The small contracts in some cases take more administrative oversight than some of the larger ones. So this gives you an explanation. What's shown on the bottom is the different categories of contract opportunities, and what's shown on the vertical axis is the magnitude of the dollars and millions that would be spent in each of those categories. So I do want to point out that these procurement challenges that we face are very real, and they are going to have a ripple effect on the program. But moving forward, you know, we know that job number one, or our top priority, is we need to figure out how we're going to address these procurement challenges, because it could have a very real impact on the number of opportunities we have and the number of contracts that we're able to generate, especially at the smaller end of the scale. We are going to continue to work very closely with diversity, and especially get the word out to everybody about our projects. And as Gustavo mentioned, I really think you know, this small business program could have a very real impact too, because what we noticed when we looked at some of the data on the CRP was that, you know, just because you have a $0 to $5 million contract doesn't mean that some of the guys who are bidding on the $50 million or more aren't bidding on those too. And in fact, they did bid on those too. So if we could, you know, be successful in the small business program category, we could be a little more selective on who will eventually be successful in that. And now I think I turn it over.
Can we just pause for a second and see if there's any, this kind of the overview on unbundling, and there may be some questions, probably more questions than answers for any of us right now at this moment. But
can we just go back to slide 15 for a second? So I'm asking you here, Paul, that third bar, the gold bar over there,
yes,
number five above it, that represents really the impact of the procurement process as recently instituted, to some extent, in terms of what you could do in those smaller contracts?
Yeah, that is a very simplified version of how we could address the risks that we're experiencing right now. We know it's taken us three times as long. We know that risk is the same for every single contract that we implement, whether it's big or small. And we know that those contracts are all kind of linked together, too. So you can't really assume, the delay of one isn't going to have an impact on the rest. But, this is what, based on what we have seen so far happen in the rollout of the current contracts, I feel if we were trying to address the risk, that's what we should be doing. We should be looking at a smaller number of contracts.
So to get stuff done on time and on budget, that gold bar is where you would be, under the current procurement code, that's where you would be most comfortable.
That's where I'm telling you I feel that we were at least matching the risk that we had under CRP.
What was the most recent experience in contracts let and then turnaround time to get the contracts to the contractors? What was the longest compared to 5 years ago, prior to the new procurement?
I mean, prior to the new process that we have right now, we were issuing notices to proceed to contracts within 30 days after I asked for approval from the board to do it.
So once the board approved, it was 30 days. The contract was in the hand of the contractors. If he felt he could start and it was within feasibility, they'd start.
Yes.
What happened in this last?
I mean, on the ones that we experienced recently, they went up at least, some of them went up to 90 days, and we still have some professional service contracts that are above 116 days, I think, in the county. You know, every day we're adjusting that spreadsheet that we have that's tracking that. I think the thing that's most significant about this risk on the procurement side, it's not so much that, we have to do additional coordination with outside agencies. It's just there's no predicting, how long it's going to take.
Right. So if we could always assume that it's going to take
3 months
after board approval or 30 days or what have you, and that was consistent, there's just not really a way right now of identifying. It could take less, it could take significantly more, and there's not really a set expectation or certainty.
Correct.
What about state cutbacks? Personnel, the impact they could have in the future. It's just all it's going to do is delay it further.
Mm-hmm. That would make it worse, yes.
I mean, if we can reasonably assume that that's going to be something we're going to be seeing.
We ourselves, and I mean, I would expect you to expect this from us, is we are trying to advertise, the opportunity sooner to help mitigate how long it's taking. But like I said, some of them, we still don't know what the maximum number of days might be because they haven't even closed yet, and they're going above 100 days. So even with me starting earlier, me advertising professional service bulletins earlier or putting out construction contracts earlier, isn't going to fix the problem completely. And the delays that we're experiencing right now on getting our design contracts going for I-90 means I'm not going to be able to get those construction contracts out, much earlier than we feel right now that even the work that we have planned for 2013 on I-90 is at risk.
When you look at the way bids have been coming back under engineers' estimates, that's not going to last forever. So we're going to lose this opportunity to this window of bargain, if you want to call it, that's out there in the market right now as well.
And I would assume it's going to be much harder for people to submit bids because they don't know how far out in advance they're actually going to be handed the contract to do the work. If they know we're speeding our process up on the front end.
Yeah, a little bit more trying to read tea leaves.
Yeah, so they're going to have to build in the risk, the cost of the risk of when they're actually going to be starting. Could miss a whole construction season.
Mm-hmm. Well, you start missing a month or 3 or 4 weeks or two months in a construction season, and you couple that with a rainy season, you can blow a season.
Yeah.
Quick. and any sort of schedule.
So Paul, I'm just looking at some numbers here, I'm seeing that in the area of professional contracts, you know, being able to reach smaller businesses, et cetera, has not been a huge problem. Numerically, you're able to provide a lot of business to smaller professional service businesses. On the construction side, however, we do see that where small contracts are available, that really increases the amount of participation, it appears, that we hit 42 unique prime vendors in that 0 to 5 million area and another 14 in the 5 to 10. So that almost half of all the vendors were included just in those two categories. And there's like 6 or 7 or 8 categories all told. So in order to broaden our horizons, be more inclusive, being able to award contracts to smaller businesses, which then kind of almost by definition includes more DBE, WBE, MB contractors. But to reach small contracts, to be able to do those would be advantageous in a number of ways. But counterposing that possibility pretty strongly now is the risk associated with the timing, the time allocation to trying to get those things done. And as you add more and more contracts, that creates a greater degree of difficulty and delay and causes a huge problem from that end. So ideally, we'd be trying to look at the possibilities in terms of doing more unbundling, you might say, and being able to do more small contracts. But it poses a huge problem on the other end in terms of being able to perform.
What about relief from Springfield? Where do you see that at right now?
Well, you know, as you know, we do have some legislative and statutory provisions that we're seeking. I don't know that, you know, at the end of the day, you don't necessarily, you can assume and project, but you don't always know exactly how much relief time-wise that will provide until whatever those changes are implemented. But there is a bill, I think they're kind of referring to it as almost the omnibus bill, because there have been, whether it be the Illinois State Chamber of Commerce or small business groups or, you know, agencies like the Tollway, I think maybe even Illinois Department of Transportation, other state agencies, have all said that there are some real challenges with, you know, some of the way this last bill has been implemented. And I think the idea would be to take on, you know, some of the maybe less challenging items, lower hanging fruit, however you want to describe it, in making some revisions that could provide, you know, some relief when it comes to these timeframes. But ultimately, we can propose ideas based on our current experience, but even with those revisions, you just don't always know how the implementing agency is going to implement those changes and maybe see a broader or narrower interpretation or authority or what have you. So, but that is something that we have been assured is a priority this session, to look for some potential changes to the statute.
I met with some smaller contractors here this week, and still to this day, their biggest obstacle in getting work, totally work, private work, any sort of work, is bonding and insurance, and, you know, to the point of almost complete frustration. What's in our plans on that?
So that's the next topic for us to be discussing. And so if there are any other questions on this unbundling conversation.
I just want, going back to the screen, your page 12, where it does that, the unbundling, the 20 organizations that had some input here, it seemed to me when I look at the organizations, they would fit into this $0 to $10 million category. Would that be with the ones that you met with, Gustavo? Because, and I think this is their concern that, you know, they're in the $0 to $10 million and they're saying, hey, this is why we got unbundled, because we're only getting 8% of the total contracts here.
Dollar-wise,
and this is out of a $4 billion, and now we're heading into double that. And it seems like if we continue with the process, and I know that it's because of the time delays and we don't want to stop construction, But if we're looking 5 years or 8 years down the road and we've done another 6-7 billion and we follow the same procedures, it looks like we're going to be looking at the same screen here. And the 20 organizations that you're meeting with right now are not going to benefit by continuing this way, because they're the ones that are being left out. And that's why I think you see or you hear that they want the unbundling, because they're only getting 8% of, but yet it's 50% of the contracts. My question now is if procurement can help us, if we can change the procurement or how things happen down in Springfield. There's 94 contracts that went out under $5 million, another 28 that went under $10 million. So that's about 120 contracts. So those same 120 contracts follow the same procurement as the 15 contracts that went out for the $50 million in terms of the process that
follow the same process.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because I think there's where I think our hands sometimes may be tied as a tollway directors, is that if we want to stay on time with our construction, it's easier to wait for 15 contracts to get approved at 50-60 million and get it done and stay on a schedule. But at the same time, we're not helping the unbundling process. So I think I think we have to concentrate is how we change this procurement and how to speed up the process. So maybe if we're speeding it up, because I wouldn't want to wait for 94 contracts versus 16 on the same 6-month to 12-month delay. But if I knew there was a quicker process, then yeah, I could do 94 and it wouldn't, or I could double it. Like you just said, if we want to do more, it's going to really slow up the process. So I think we really have to really look at what's going down in Springfield in terms of how do you speed up the procurement, allowing these smaller contracts to get sped through, even the bigger contracts. But because of the way we're going here, the same 20 organizations you met with are going to be looking at the same screen 5-6 years from now.
I should have had you do the presentation. That's exactly what we were trying to get across.
Yeah. And the user, I mean, I think our responsibility is to the user that's using the tollway. If you ask the user at the tollway, what's your number one? They don't care about this. They want to make sure that the road's not being blocked. If they're moving, if construction happens, it's got to be a short delay and everything here. So I think there's where we really need to concentrate, is how do we speed up the procurement process and not have to make these 6-month waits, because if we do it, we are not going to be able to unbundle these contracts and at the same time keep on a schedule and please the user who's actually paying. So we got, we're juggling two things here.
Well, how much does the unbundling add to cost?
That's a good question. I mean, we know that under the CRP, we deliver approximately 35 construction contracts a year. So all the costs associated with that under CRP, we would assume would apply to Move Illinois. So I feel comfortable with saying the cost will be the same, and I don't know exactly what the administrative costs are per contract.
You would anticipate that with more contracts, there's going to be some more there will be some additional administration on the part of the tollway.
Right.
I mean, you need more people to manage 15 or 90 contracts than you do to manage 15 contracts, but maybe at a fairly small cost. And I think one thing that I would also though point out is that what we I think have seen, and Paul can speak to it more directly, is that as we have broken up contracts, not maybe analyzing at the $5 million level, but getting into more, I think the $50 million and less or $40 million and less, we did start to see more competition. So certainly, this, as you get down in the contract, you see more competition. And of course, the standard thinking about more competition is that more competition leads to favorable pricing in the long run. So, obviously.
It would, but the argument that I seem to get, the pushback I get from certain groups, comes from the unbundling and, what's the cost to the taxpayer? This is only going to add to it. And I think if we can show that it doesn't, that it adds to competition, the competition drives price down.
Yeah, but the unbundling, the whole thing too, is if you're going to have a lot of small businesses between the 0 and 20 million or 0 and 10 million, these small businesses now can have it, where you don't have the $50 million contractors, that small business component part that they're going to create the jobs. And this is Move Illinois, there was another part of this to create the jobs, and these small businesses, if they have an opportunity to get into this 0 to 10 million, they're going to create employment. The bigger companies already have their people hired.
Not so much on the employment, because they're all going to pull people from the same pool. Mm-hmm. They all come from the same pool. The key is, what's it do to the cost per mile of road?
And
we'd like to be here is 10 years from now or 5 years from now saying, not only do we increase diversity and help small businesses develop, but we also brought the cost down.
And I think Paul...
Yeah, I think the reason why we structured the Move Illinois program the same way as the CRP was it was kind of based on $1 billion a year. So we wouldn't incur, what I was trying to get across with the CRP historical information was that, you know, we should do at least as well as we did under CRP, and that won't have any additional administrative costs because the average per year is roughly about the same. However, you know, what, you know, Director Gonzalez was mentioning about the risk is like my only way to mitigate the risk right now is to decrease the number of contracts. So there will be some scalability of increasing some staff numbers and some PMO numbers and some general consultant numbers in order to address the administrative side. But I really think, you know, I'd love to have that problem right now. I don't even have that problem. I can't, you know, we effectively even deliver the, you know, the same number as CRP.
I mean, if we have goals on unbundling, and as we try to push forward with those goals, and part of the goals, reaching those goals, is to analyze what we think the cost impact is going to be per mile of road.
Mm-hmm.
We can continue with a more risk-averse bidding system for now, with the full anticipation, I think, that there's got to be some relief on procurement in Springfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, and I think that, you know, the other point that I would make, just from my experience over the last couple of years and my ongoing conversations with, you know, Paul and engineering and others, is that, you know, while there may be some even additional administrative elements to, you know, more contracts at smaller dollar amounts, ultimately, as you create more companies that can perform at higher and higher levels, you get that benefit from increased competition across the whole contracting spectrum, right? That's the idea, and I think we've seen that in reality on a couple of our projects. Again, as we reduced from, you know, very high dollar amount contracts to $50 million or $40 million or $30 million or less, we started to see better bids, better pricing coming in because you had four or five firms that could compete for those contracts instead of one or two big national or international companies. So,
it will offset.
Yeah.
So if we combine this slide with the slide before, this says that if we got the potential Move Illinois got the procurement right, we would have $500 million more in those first two categories. Is that
yes.
right?
0 to 10.
Yeah. So, and then if you look at the slide before that, I think this is an answer to your question. I hadn't thought about it this way. We would actually be adding 2, is that correct, per year?
That's what you're going to see. If we have the same rules and the same confidence that we have under CRP, you could expect it to be growing in dollars and numbers at least slightly.
And so this is just 0 to 5 million.
Yes.
So when you think about kind of that next 5 to 10 million also, which is still a small.
So it's probably under 6 or, I mean, it's around 6 if you get to the 10 million, just based on the next one. All I'm saying is you get $500 million more in out there, but it's really a relatively small number of contracts that is going to make an additional cost.
Right. It might not be, I think as Paul mentioned it, for this type of goal, similar to the CRP, we wouldn't necessarily think that outside of what is now an unusually uncertain procurement process, which we didn't have to deal with in the CRP, I don't think you'd see necessarily a lot of additional administrative costs or anything else. We've done this before, we did it successfully, you know, CRP on time, on budget, in some projects probably even ahead of schedule. So I think what you're saying is there wouldn't necessarily be, for this, the blue to the green, for instance, we wouldn't necessarily see a lot of additional administration.
Correct.
It's just how much, you know, if the goal is to think about, you know, more opportunities, that might or might not have some of those impacts.
Well, it just goes to reason that if you have one large contract going through the procurement process and it gets passed, you start.
Yes.
You take that and break it into 10, and one of those, which may be a key, gets held up at the procurement for some reason.
Right.
Everything stops and nothing goes forward.
Right.
We have to have some sort of relief if we're going to break these up. Otherwise, we're going to run into huge delay and huge risk that you lose a season possibly, you know, based on, you know, if what we're really trying to do is unbundle these at a higher level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we can't do that, then Director Gonzalez's remark that people would be looking at the same screen was really optimistic.
The changes are stopping us from doing what we want to do to help small business.
Like, I think the reason why we're showing the orange bars on the one slide is to show you that that's the risk-adjusted approach to delivery of Move Illinois. And regardless of what I will commit, I will do, you know, what the board wants to have done and will die trying to deliver it. But you can realistically expect it to be like the orange because it's going to be controlled by things outside of here. You know, we aren't going to get the same number of contracts going at the same time as before, because nothing has occurred that's going to make it easier to get a contract out. Nothing in the past 5 years has happened that makes it easier for us to deliver a project. It's all added additional complexity to that process.
Okay. Anything else? I think we've identified the issues here pretty thoroughly. You know, the question becomes what needs to be done going forward. And
I think we've also heard that, you know, some of the things that we would, whatever we move forward with, we'd want to track, you know, being, you know, effectiveness, cost, all of those, you know, how many opportunities are we really providing for smaller business. We'll kind of take those back and think about some of those too, so that was helpful feedback. Should we move on to bonding?
The only other thing is, I think implicit in this, and you and I have talked about quite a bit, is that to make the procurement process more efficient doesn't mean to make it less effective. So we would still have the same checks and balances in the system. It would still go through a whole legal process with lots of scrutiny. So we're not saying, you know, let it out from under the controls. We would keep the controls. It would just be within the checks and balances that we have designed within our own system rather than having it out.
Well, you find many interested minority mid-sized contractors from other parts of the country interested in this project. You know, we focus on local, but you know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, who's out there? You know, we used to have the bullies of the world here who now are gone, and we lost some of our mid-sized minority contractors, 2-1 as I think of, but the 2-1s of the world from other areas that we could attract.
I had He's one company from Florida, Hispanic owned, not certified, they're a very large company, very successful, doing tollway contracts, multiple other disciplines as well. And they
built a
labor relations.
It's based on Florida, and he has an office in Illinois right now, Chicago, very small presence. When they learned about New Illinois, they immediately called, they set up a meeting, I met with them, and they are now planning to build up that staffing and start bidding on tollway projects.
What about African American?
Sorry, I can't.
African American? Do you identify any?
No, I have not had anyone there approaching me. However, there
but
are.
We haven't also taken that step necessarily. I mean, this is a company that approached you, approached us, so, you know, that might be a next step to look also more broadly because it is a very sizable program.
Right. There are a couple of advocacy agencies that do have access nationwide to construction companies, minority